God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today and tomorrow, Dr. Larry Spargimino will be visiting with Brother Durwood Hatch about the Big Bang and evolution. Brother Hatch has written a book that's the basis for the two programs. It's entitled, God Did It. Durwood Hatch has a science background and is taught at Altoona Bible Institute. He's well qualified to address the issues found in his book. Brother Larry, what do you expect to do on today's program?
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and greetings to all in our listening audience. We're going to be talking about some really key issues, I think very important issues for young people and for adults. And you know, friends, you may have been looking for a scientific resource that wasn't afraid to admit the truth, whatever that truth might be. Well, have you been searching for someone who has knowledge about cosmology and biology and yet who still believes that God exists and that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, if that's been your quest, we have just the book for you. It's called God Did It by Durwood Hatch. And in a few minutes, our announcer, Brother Jerry, will come to the mic and tell you how you can get your own copy of the book, God Did It. Brother Durwood, thank you so much for being our guest.
Oh, it's a great privilege and joy.
As we start, what motivated you to write this book? Why did you write the book?
Well, I had several reasons. Number one, I've been disturbed for some time at the lack of reverence for God and for His Holy Bible that I see in society today, and our church memberships are declining and churches are closing, and God's Word is just not being respected as it was in the past when I was a younger fellow. We hear said that the Bible is not a science book, it's just a religious book. But the truth is that when the Bible speaks of a scientific matter, it's accurate. We would expect that from if it's God's Word, and it is God's Word. In fact, the Bible was thousands of years ahead of men's discoveries, as we will see as we continue talking. Millions of people have been deceived by those two theories which we just mentioned, the Big Bang and evolution, and simply because those theories have been taught in our educational institutions as if they were proven facts, when in truth they certainly are not. They're only theories. I want God to receive the reverence and the worship that He deserves for being the wonderful creator of our awesome universe and everything in it. What I hope to do would be to restore and strengthen some of the Christians' weak faith in our Bible. I would love to point lost souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because He alone can forgive sin, and He alone can reconcile God and man. He alone can open the gates of heaven for all who receive Christ as their personal Savior. And in His Word, God gives us an invitation. He says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord." And that's what I hope we can do in regard to these theories. God invites us to compare man's theories to the Bible's account of creation.
Right. That's a great, great project and a great undertaking. You're absolutely right. There has been a loss of reverence for the Word of God, a loss of respect for the Word of God. Pastors no longer preach from the Word. They give little six-minute ditties, tell a few stories, and that's about it, and turn it over to the choir, and yet we are in desperate straits today. We certainly need the Word of God, and we need to believe all of the Word of God because it is God's Word, and what God says is absolutely true, even in areas of science. Well, Brother Durwood, your book has two major sections, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. One section deals with the Big Bang, and the second half of it deals with evolution. These theories, as you've just indicated, have greatly altered the spiritual condition of our nation. Both of them attack the Bible. They attempt to show the Bible to be a book of myths and errors, And they both declare that God is not needed to create the universe. True science actually proves the exact opposite. Without God, there would be no habitable earth and no universe at all. True science actually proves the existence of God. True science has made great advances in recent years. It's just catching up to the Bible. Because God made everything that's made, he knows all that can be known. We should expect his inspired word to be accurate when it speaks of scientific things, and indeed it is.
You have some tremendous quotations. In fact, you know, a lot of people today, they go to college, they send their young people to a state university, to a secular school, and some PhD who's godless, who has no respect for the Word of God, who thinks, well, let's eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and he gets up in the classroom and he destroys the faith of so many young people. You've got a statement I want to read to our listeners. It's on page 144. Just a wonderful statement. You say that Dr. Francis Crick, one of the discoverers of DNA and its functions, advised biologists, quote, to ignore the evidence. Wow, you know, we think that science is built on evidence, but here Dr. Crick says just ignore it, you know. Ignore the evidence before their own eyes that complex biological forms are obviously the result of purposeful and intelligent design. He says, you know, there's all of that evidence around us, but you have to ignore it. So what this credentialed scientist is saying, don't look at the evidence. We know, friends, that Durwood Hatch's book is divided into two major sections. It speaks about the Big Bang Theory and also about evolution. Durwood, what is the Big Bang Theory?
Well, the Big Bang Theory defies common sense, but the theory says that there is a thing called a singularity, which is defined as a single dimensionless point where extreme energy existed. Enough energy to make every atom, for every photon, every bit of energy required to form the entire universe. All this energy and potential matter was supposedly squashed down into a little tiny primeval atom. From this amazingly dense particle sprang our entire universe, according to this theory. Time and space supposedly resulted upon release of this energy. In other words, according to the theory, there was absolutely nothing in existence until this thing exploded and created time and space and everything else. Pre-Big Bang, nothingness was absolute. But the energy that was released, according to theory, was converted to matter. Now, Albert Einstein's theory, E equals mc squared, tells us that energy and matter are equivalent, and that could happen. Although I think that God has much to do with it. But the matter that was created was rapidly dispersed throughout space. Now they had space. As the temperature cooled down, theory says that the particles began to gravitationally coalesce into stars and planets and galaxies over a period of 13.7 million years. Excuse me, billion years. That's the theory in brief.
Well, now, Durwood, what is the Bible's answer to the Big Bang Theory?
And I would say that the Bible's answer is Hebrews 11:3, which says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I think this is one of the most important verses in the Bible, and it proves the Holy Spirit inspiration of the Bible. This one verse is enough for me to prove that God wrote it, because it says that things which appear were made of things which were not seen. How significant that the Bible told us thousands of years before science learned it, that everything is made of tiny, tiny, invisible particles. And by the word of the Lord, the Bible says, were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33:6. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33:9. The as far as I'm concerned, the great energy which was released when the Lord spoke is the energy which was used to create the universe. And the Big Bang offers no explanation as how this singularity came to be. The Bible tells us that the energy came from God himself when he spake. This energy was converted into perfectly designed tiny, tiny particles of matter with electrical charges. And these charges would bind the particles together to form quarks, protons, neutrons, electrons, to make atoms that in turn would make the elements from which all substances have been created. These particles are listed in the standard model of particle physics that contains 27 known particles and 2 theoretical ones. Now, can we really believe that anything less than supernatural intelligence was required to design these tiny, tiny particles with the miraculous capability to interact with each other in such a manner as to create all elements from which all other substances are formed? Such a widely divergent range of things, such as human bodies and metals, coal, earth, planets, gases, liquids, each with its own varieties, and also water and solids, gases, and the exact proportion needed for life, as well as vegetation. Natural random forces could never, never create these intricate particles. I believe that the economy of design, imagine 27 tiny, tiny particles, millions and billions of them, and the magnificently detailed composition of these infinitesimal particles is perhaps to me the most convincing testimony to the creation being the work of God, the intelligent designer.
Well, I think that's so well put. You know, it's kind of like looking at a wristwatch. I've got a wristwatch on my wrist right now, and I'm looking at it. It's got a strap, it's got a face, it's got hands, it's ticking the seconds away, and it's obvious that someone put this together. It didn't just happen. It didn't go bang from a point of singularity, and it mystifies me that otherwise intelligent men and women would come up with such a theory, and I think Romans 1:18 probably explains it. You know why that those who are against God are seeking to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because the creation of God is everywhere screaming at them that this is what God has made. This is what our Heavenly Father has created. But Durwood, what is unique about the planet Earth?
Well, the Bible tells us he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established a world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. And from Jeremiah, and for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. Isaiah 48:18. The uniqueness of the earth is simply this. Number one, this is the only known body that supports life. This is the only planet, moon, or asteroid to have a liquid expanse of water which is not frozen. That's a necessity for life, water in its liquid form. It's the only body which has an atmosphere in which oxygen is a major constituent. It's the only body with plant life. Plant life not only serves as a source for food, but green plants create and renew the oxygen in the atmosphere needed for human and animal life. The Bible certainly indicates that God designed it, and it is indeed unique.
Well, friends, we're going to get right back with our guest, Durwood Hatch, but let's pause for a moment and get our announcer at the mic. Brother Jerry, how may our listeners get their own copy of this excellent book, God Did It?
There are 3 ways to get it: phone, mail, or the Internet. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. A single copy will be sent when you make a contribution of $20 in the U.S., $22 in Canada. Contact us right away for your copy of God Did It. Here again are Brother Larry and Durwood Hatch.
Durwood, what is special about the universe?
the fact that so many precise factors were needed to create the universe. There's many quotes from science, scientists themselves, true scientists, and one of the quotes is simply, he asked, why did the universe start out with the critical rate of expansion that separates other theoretical models of the universe that recollapse instead of those that go on expanding forever, such as ours, millions of years later, if indeed a million years. And it's still expanding at the critical rate. If this expansion had been smaller by even one part in 100,000 million, the universe would have recollapsed, and we would not have had a universe. The Bible has the answer to this question. It was no happy accident of the theoretical Big Bang. It was the perfect work of God, as recorded 3,000 years ago, when he said, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I think Stephen Hawking, an agnostic, admits, he says, I think clearly there are religious implications. Whenever you start to discuss the origins of the universe, there must be religious overtones. But I think scientists shy away from the religious side of it. It turns out that there are not only six critical numbers, which Sir Martin Rees, the British Royal Astronomer, tells us about, but there are over 100 factors that are so critical that if they varied by parts, one part in millions or even billions in some cases, the universe would not have been created. It would not have gone and got been created and stayed created. That in itself, of course, proves that no possible combination of random factors could possibly have made that happen. The fact that these values didn't depend on one another in each way gives strong support to the argument for an intelligent creator, because he made these values exactly what they had to be, independent of the others. They didn't influence each other, made it possible for life on this unique earth and in the universe itself. The fine-tuning of these critical values in relation to one another could never have happened by random chance.
Well, I think that's so true. It takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang, to believe in fortuitous evolution. I think that requires a blind leap in the dark than to believe the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and if we study the Bible, we see how true it is in all areas. It's obvious, I think, that we see divine inspiration, and we certainly see intelligent design in the universe. But what about the factors that were critical for life to exist in the universe? What factors do we see, and how did it play out in God's creation?
Well, the factors are, these six are spelled out, and it turns out that the other 100 known ones were defined by a group of 100 hundreds of experts in their fields. And it turns out that there's only one chance in followed by 123 zeros is the number, the ratio that is the random chance that it means that it could no longer be possible that it could be formed by random. In other words, all these factors had to come together at the same time, and random chance could never do it. The odds against that's 123 zeros after the first 10. This tells us how precise God's aim must have been to build this universe and to build this world. It's wonderful. This number is far greater than the number of subatomic particles calculated to exist in the entire universe. If any one of these critical values are missing or outside the necessary limits, then life is impossible.
Well, that's so well put. Now, what about the other factors? Have there been many more factors that have been identified for life to exist in the universe?
Well, these 100, in addition to the first six, pretty well spell it out at the moment. There may be more come to light later. What is the wonder? People wonder if there's ever going to be another planet like the Earth. The odds actually favor the fact that there Earth is the only planet, the only place in the universe where life of our sort exists. And those odds are so enormous that it suggests that we are alone. And all these attempts to contact other alien civilizations have failed, and it seems likely that we are the only ones. And it becomes apparent that there's an anthropic principle involved here. What's that mean? It means that looking at all these factors tells us that the world was specifically made for people.
So what is the likelihood, statistically speaking, of another Earth-like planet, that there would be water, there would be life, oxygen, animals, fish, and so forth? What is the chances of that actually happening?
That's 10 followed by 23 zeros.
So it means it's highly unlikely.
Oh, very, very much. In fact, that figure is so decisive that it can just be said that there's no possibility at all.
Right. It's so slim, it really is not possible. Now, we're coming to the end of our first interview, but what challenge does God make to man? What does he say to man? What does he expect of man?
Well, this is simply a challenge for man's science to actually arrive at the correct age of the universe. It's interesting. Thus saith the Lord, if the heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth be searched out beneath, I will cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. That's from Jeremiah 31:37. Well, we know that God is not going to cast off the Jewish people. He has a wonderful future planned for them. But he's challenging men who say that this universe is 13.7 billion years old. He's saying, you don't know, and you never are going to know.
Well, Derwood, thank you so much for this first interview. We'd like to have you back for another program. Is that going to be okay?
Well, I would appreciate that very much.
Wonderful. Well, friends, be sure to tune in to our next broadcast. We're going to be talking again to Brother Derwood Hatch. He's the author of the excellent book, God Did It, Not the Big Bang, and Evolution. So, Brother Jerry, come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of this book by Derwood Hatch.
There are three ways to get God Did It: phone, mail, or the Internet. Phone number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website address is swrc.com. The 292-page book is available in appreciation of a $20 contribution in the United States, $22 for Canadian listeners. Have you figured out why so many scientific assumptions by men and women who are supposed to be intelligent can believe in either the Big Bang or evolution? I sure can't. If they would read God Did It, Not the Big Bang or Evolution, would they be convinced? Maybe so, maybe not, but perhaps you'll understand why those two theories simply don't work. Get your copy of this intriguing and compelling book today. The book and the programs will be sent when you call and make a contribution to this ministry. Number is 1-800-652-1144. Or you can go to the Internet. Our website is at swrc.com. Today's Bible in the News report comes your way over most of these stations next. Don't miss tomorrow's program when Dr. Spargimino and Brother Derwood Hatch return for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Welcome to today's Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. We report on a recent news story and relate it to the Bible. Today's speaker is Dr. Bob Glaze.
In Genesis 1:31, we read that God had completed his creation and that it was very good. Genesis 2:1 states, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." In Exodus 20:11, we read, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day." So we know that everything that God created was created in the first 6 days, and then the seventh day he stopped his creating not because he was tired, but because he had created everything that he intended to create. He would never destroy anything that was good that he had created. However, he destroyed Sodom and its inhabitants because they were Sodomites, thusly named after their city for their deviant lifestyle of gross sin. The Creator would not destroy anything that remained as he had created it if sin, including homosexuality, had not deviated from the created state. Today, homosexuals and lesbians are called sodomites because they practice the same lifestyle, and Paul in Romans 1 states that they are worthy of death. Our present administration, many of its followers, are doing everything possible to not only preserve this lifestyle, but also promote it. This is totally against God's word. We are to flee the very appearance of sin, not cozy up to it. Conservation scientists report that 80% of all species are either already extinct or threatened by extinction. Billions of tax dollars are being spent by different environmental groups to reverse this trend. The newest animal to join this group is a deviant to the original creation, homosexuals. In an article appearing in CNSnews.com entitled, "Taxpayer Money Will Help Homosexual Activists Establish Safe Spaces in Public Schools," explains the horrible plight of this group of perverts. The article states, quote, "A homosexual advocacy group is getting taxpayer money to increase the percentage of schools that set up safe spaces for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered youth, or the LGBT. The Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, GLSEN, will receive $285,000 annually for 5 years to partner with 20 targeted school districts across the country to help keep LGBT students safe and healthy. The grant money is coming from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention through its Department of Adolescence and School Health, or DASH. The fact that these grants are coming from the Department of Adolescent and School Health Department is admission that these children are subject to be infected by their lifestyle and their confinement is good for the normal children." However, GSLEN Executive Director Eliza Bayard sees it differently. Quote, "It is abundantly clear that LGBT youth experience a bias and violence at school contributes to significant threats to their health, academic success, and psychological well-being," unquote. "Providing sanctuary for and special care for these youth is tantamount to condemning them to a sure death through the disease of AIDS. This is not health care. It's a death sentence. By providing safe spaces, GLSEN, through our government, with our taxes, are simply reinforcing youth into thinking they are special and need to continue practicing a slow death, both physically and spiritually. It is high time that the parents of public school children demand that these deviants stop living their lives through others' children."
That's today's Bible in the News report of Southwest Radio Ministries. Be here for our next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.